Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
You guys ready this morning? Susie and I took 4 or 5 days on vacation in North Carolina, and we were sitting on a deck overlooking mountains. It was gorgeous. And then we were going to leave early, like 6 o'clock in the morning, to get home in time, because I was preaching with Bill Vanderbush this weekend at the Quantum Preaching Conference that he has. It's a closed conference for all his students around the country, and it was an honor to go there, but I kind of wanted to be there Friday night, just, you know. Didn't work out for me because I'm such a thoughtful husband. It was 26 degrees. I started the car, made sure the heat was on, and I locked the keys in the car. Susie's number one statement was, "I'm glad it was you and not me." And so, you know, wanting to leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it, my whole day kind of, I could feel it coming apart. And it was interesting. It's like, we're on the mountaintop in Murphy's, North Carolina, and there's terrible internet. Can't get the signal from the Chrysler U-Connect to unlock the doors. That didn't work. Long and short of it, I had to call AAA. And then some... We took a 5-day vacation on a 3-day marriage. Anyway, no, we had a good time. But in the midst of trying to find... directions for this guy on this, you know, I was talking to him on the cell phone. I couldn't pull up the map on my phone to tell him how to get there. You know, I'm up on a mountain. I mean, it's like Redneckville. And so then they had a regular map, you know, like a real paper map. And I saw it there, so I went to look at it to tell the guy how to get there, and I heard the Lord say, "You have the same problem most of my people have." I said, "What's that?" He said, "What good's a map if you don't even know where you are?" I'm like, "I don't know where I'm at." How do you give direction when you don't know where you're at? And so I kind of took that as a challenge, is we need to know where we're at so we know how we take directions on where we're supposed to go. And so I went and preached at... Saturday morning, I went and I stayed with Vanderbush and his team, and heard some extremely, extremely smart people. I mean, this lady goes to governments and works on their cybersecurity, and she's a partner with IBM, and she's a scientist, and she's really, really smart, and I felt really, really dumb. And she's talking about the next reformation is in a reformation of intelligence. And if the church doesn't quit fearing intelligence and get involved with it, the enemy's going to steal it. And it just comes down to what you fear will overtake you. And so we as Christians have got to quit fearing the intelligence revolution that's going on. I mean, she really blew me away. And I'm sitting there going, you know, God, you're really funny. I hear I'm in a group of people that are like the smartest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life, in a Presbyterian church, by the way. And I got to stand up and go, yeah, when I got saved at 33, I couldn't read. And Jesus taught me to read. I'm like, okay, well, this is quantum preaching. I don't even know what quantum is. I figured it out. I do a lot of it. Why? Because it comes natural when the creator of the universe lives on the inside of you. You can call it what you want. You're hearing the voice of God who created everything, who wants to show you more things about creation that he created so he can create a new you in you in the image and Christ, likeness of Christ. So if you remember, we had Michael Ashburn, and he said that we needed to study the book of Ruth. I mean, I believe he's a prophet. I tried to obey him. I had a great message for this morning, but I walked in the building, and the same anointing that hit me last night as I was prophesying and laying hands on a lot of hungry young people in that group. And I thought of this 28-year-old single girl that she looks a little Iraqi kind of, and her heart is missions, and she goes to Iraq as a missionary. And she's single, and she's got a heart for God. That's why she's in this class to preach. And I just lay hands on her, and I heard the voice of the Lord say, you need to affirm her that she is a princess and she's not a spoiled brat. I'm like, woo. And so I just started prophesying over her that I said, I don't know what it, I want to dismantle an accusation against you that you're just a spoiled brat and you're looking for people to support your ministry. But the problem is they've misread your spoiled bratness to that you're actually a princess. You're royalty. And she starts weeping. You don't know what people are going through. She starts bawling. And I said, can I just be me? She goes, yeah. And I says, and you don't have a boyfriend, and people think that you're never going to be successful unless you get married. That's a lie from hell. I'm thinking, I hope she's not married. This is going to be a bad prophecy if I screwed this one up. And she just starts weeping. And so we do a lot of stuff. And I mean, when I got up to preach, I had a really good plan. And I get up to preach, and I see, you guys are familiar with my angel, the broken ballerina. He shows up. I see him in the back room. I'm like, okay, all right. One of my angels that I can now see, I haven't seen him in a long time. He hasn't showed up when I've been preaching. So this was kind of a shock to me. And, you know, the broken ballerina angel is healing the abused. You know, those that have been sexually abused, those that have been broken in their spirit. And so I was like, you know, he didn't show up just, you know, to make me mess up. So I kind of diverted everything and went into that. And listen, this, I watched this angel actually go touch people. And it's amazing the things that I saw this angel do while I was ministering, that when it was time to lay hands on, they wanted a hug. And God did some supernatural things here. And there was such an affirmation in my hug that this morning I walked in here and realized that's what the church needs right now, is the power of affirmation. Because if you're not affirmed, you're not going to know who you are. The greatest need the church is in the world is the need for affirmation. Most of the church has been introduced to Jesus, but has never been affirmed by the love of the Father. You know, and I taught about the baptism of innocence. And until you've experienced the baptism of innocence, you're gonna stiff arm God as a father. And I realized that what I did last night was I was affirming. And it was interesting, Susie in her investigative reporting looks on the credit card, who did you take to lunch? Everybody that needed to be affirmed. You know, so this kind of was, it was really interesting on how God did that. But in my thing was, you know, I talked about my dad was a spiritual orphan. He gave his heart to Jesus 65 years ago, but he did not know who the Father was. And it's the affirmation of the Father that actually puts your identity in proper order. And when your identity is not in proper order, you will wander and look and seek for affirmation somewhere. That's good. You'll never live and act as sons until we have been affirmed by the Father. English definition pronouncement is declaration, pronouncement, confirmation, assertion, and a statement. a verification. And I just, on multiple occasions, I just affirmed people. And there was this fathering thing on me last night. There was an anointing in my hug. And it was evident. As we debriefed and we're over at Bill's house, that's what God was doing. The greatest affirmation verse in scripture is Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is God the Father speaking from heaven to earth, and he affirmed Jesus for the first time. Do you realize that was the first voice of heaven in 430 years? Malachi to the Matthew was 400 years. His birth is 430 years. Do you realize that Israel rejected God as a father and wanted a king? He gave them what they wanted, and it actually converts to a bastard curse, a fatherless curse, which is a 10-generation curse. Generations being 40 years. It was 400 years before Jesus was born, 30 years before they heard from heaven. I think I said that one of my studies in the last two or three weeks was Judaism. Remember, I think I said it last week. Judaism, I thought that Judaism was part of the Old Testament. Judaism was a new religion in Jesus' day that started in that 400-year darkness that God never spoke, not through the prophets and not from heaven again. So in 400 years of God the Father not speaking, religion, that's just a thought. Where was I? Esteemed, dear, favorite, worthy of love. From God's perspective, he has already established this concerning us. From whose perspective? God's. He spoke, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." Do you realize the one that he affirmed on earth now lives in you? Then why don't we feel affirmed? That was good, wasn't it? Yeah, I didn't see any of you writing anything. Well, actually, our visitor is writing. She's writing something down. I hope it's a good note. You'll figure out real quick, one of my love languages is harassing humor. So, Ephesians 1:6 says, God has graced us among the affirmed. Colossians 3:12, we cannot be clothed properly until we have been affirmed. There are 61 verses in the New Testament that use the term beloved. Okay, how many feel like you are the beloved of God? Do you feel like the beloved when all hell's breaking loose? Okay, because that's the test of the beloved. Because if you loved me, you wouldn't let me go through this. You wouldn't be having your Job experience if God really loved you. No, he loved you. He has already affirmed you, and that needs to be established. I'm telling you, when that's established, you come through those Job experiences quicker and faster. Affirmation establishes us in the love of the Father when we receive and process truth. Truth must be processed in order to produce fruit. John 8, 31, 32, and 36. For the truth to liberate us, it must be spoken in love. There's too many people who want to tell you the truth, but don't love you enough to walk you through it. Hey, brother, that's just the truth. Yeah, we are horses, but I don't want to hear it from you. If you're only going to use the truth to be a weapon against me, then you're not affirming who is living in me and help me process the process of maturing into Christ-likeness. But it must be received without fear. So if you are giving truth to someone who's got a, you know, if Gary has a character flaw and God has exposed his character flaw to me and I bring his character flaw in a form without love, what I'm going to have with it is condemnation. And that's going to be fear-based and not love-based. There's your scripture, Ephesians 4:15, 2 Thessalonians 2:10 and 11. Fear of what? Listen, I believe if we have an encounter with the Father and the affirmation comes, I believe the seed bed that fear lives in and grows in dissipates. Therefore, when I do something that's not out of performance for him not to be mad at me, it's not a performance for me to earn his love. I'm already been affirmed, but now there's an obedience thing. Slaves are afraid of what the master says or does. Friends don't want to disappoint the master. Okay, so if you're a slave to fear, and there's scriptures for that, you don't know the master. You think the master is a slave master and not a father. Truth is the only thing that can mature us, Ephesians 4:15. It is the only thing that can liberate us, John 8:32, from sin and the effects of the fall into sonship, Romans 8:21. I'm giving you scriptures. I'm not giving you the scriptures. Go look them up. In love. Truth is the only thing that can save you. It's the only thing that breaks deception. I had one lady come to me. I don't know why, but I really feel like I trust you. I'm like, so quick? She goes, no, I want you to ask God, and I trust you. And if you see that I'm in deception, I want you to tell me. I said, okay, the first deception is you think I can see that. I said, I can't see what you hide. If you're not willing to expose where you've been deceived, then you're not giving me an opportunity to correct it. You know, the one guarantee of not being deceived is to trust somebody else more than you trust yourself. Why? Because we need one another. Write that down. I've never said that before, Gary. Creating an environment of affirmation. All right, listen, an environment of, what is it? What is an environment of affirmation? An environment of affirmation is honor. One of the intercessors sent me an email that actually probably did more change for me going to this message this morning, Ruth, is that there's been a spirit of accusation in our house. She's trying to get in. What's our name? Identity? What does accusation do? He wants to come in and destroy the foundation of who we really are. Okay, and let me tell you something. It's not big and prosperous. It's not some big, oh yeah, I'm accusing you of that. No, we're just destroying the foundation of affirmation that's already been established. All love, agape, begins with God. John 4:7. There must be a conductive environment for transformation to take place. Listen, that we have to create that culture. How many understood that when you were raising your kids? Well, the problem is that some of us are just really spiritual children, and you need the same environment. That was good. Unconditional love, DUA, total unconditional acceptance, is the perfect environment for growth. God will affirm us directly, but he will also do it through people, through the body. If truth is not spoken in love, it will only produce fear and never result in maturity. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love that you may grow up. God's love has us in his given. God's love for us is a given. Really, how come we doubt when we're under pressure? How come we doubt that he loves us when things aren't working out? When you have more month in the checkbook's already blank. You know what my wife did to me? Let's just throw Susie under the bus here. This locking the keys in the car thing.
Did you pray?
Of course I prayed. And that bugs her because she's seen my prayers do great miracles. So yesterday, you know, we finally get on the road and we get here. And yesterday morning, and I'm getting ready to go be the big preacher and all that at this conference. And she's like, don't pray for the sick and try to raise the dead because you can't even get a car door open. So there's your affirmation. You know, there it is. In love. But you know, the bottom line is it bugs the living daylights out of her that something that is natural but simple we don't have authority over. And I know that, so I should have brought a spare. A spare key would have worked. We will do that. Wow, but her purse was already in the car. Yeah, and the problem, and I had filled the thing up, so it was going to run for like 15 hours before I ran out of gas. God's love for us is a given. We can create a nurturing environment of love so that others can grow. Got to give grace to grow, man. 1 John chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. As we grow, our capacity to love increases. As our capacity to love increases, we create an environment for others to grow. So let's go back to the map. And unless you know where you are, you won't know how to get there. Okay, so where are you at in your love walk right now? There's where you figure out where you're at with your map. This guy was there last night with a service dog. We did a fire tunnel. It was the first time for a Presbyterian church. But we're doing a fire tunnel. And I hands on him. And I just like, dude, you're loved. Okay. I said, look at me. I said, you're loved. Okay. I'm thinking, this dog's about to bite me. The dog didn't like that I was putting hands on the man. I couldn't get him to respond that he was loved. And I'm thinking, why are you in this fire tunnel, dude? Well, Tracy tells me later, he's the homosexual guy that lives next door that I invited. He didn't know he was loved. First thing that hit my brain was, that man didn't know he's loved. Listen, and I laid in bed last night. I'm like, man, I'm coming to maturity because it wouldn't have been too many years ago. I could have told you why he didn't feel loved and cared more about his behavior instead of his ability to receive God's love. Listen, we want people to change, but we want them to prepare to change. That's not love. That's not maturity. And so as I took my own report card this morning, I'm like, I'm growing. It wouldn't have been that many years ago. I'd be like, you know, God doesn't really like you that much. That's not love. I just tweaked some of your religiousness. An environment of love, verse 18, an environment of fear. Which one? Colossians 2:7. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may become edifice, continually built up in him. Foundation, increasingly more confirmed and established in faith. These are just basic love walks. The abounding and overflowing with thanksgiving. He's furnishing this. These are attributes we should walk in every day. Affirmation allows me to speak to you so that you can contact who you really are. If I affirm you because God is in you, whether you've acknowledged him, whether you've received Jesus, listen, there is the light in them that came from God from birth. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And then we want to take their behavior as an adult and kill the light, the candle in them. Instead of speaking and acknowledging the candle in them is God and God loves them, and have the love come to a revelation and then transform their behavior. We want to transform people's behavior and snuff the light out. There's a measure of faith in every human being to know who God is. And we look at their journey, we look at their lifestyle, we look at their failures, and we say, oh, that light's been snuffed out. No, he's breathing. We must affirm our identity in Christ that comes through revelation of the word. Affirming others requires that we have no personal agenda. I laid in bed and I said, man, I passed the test. I was affirming this guy with no agenda to get him delivered, cast the devils out of him, have him change his lifestyle and sacrifice everything. There was no agenda. God loves you. do you realize he was in the middle of Christians that are talking crazy stuff? And I'm thinking, when I found out, I'm like, why did he come? He brought his dog. Protection. Guidance. It was a service dog. And I'm thinking, okay, God, what are you doing here? What is the greatest hindrance to affirmation? Insecurity and fear. See, here's the problem with Christians today is we read the Old Testament. We said if a leper, in the Old Testament said if a leper touched you, you were unclean. Listen, I don't live in the Old Testament. If a leper touches me now, they get clean. I'm not afraid of a leper touching me. Why? Listen, you, this morning, she quacked my eyes and she goes, I haven't been here because I had the flu. I didn't want you to get sick. And I was like, you can't give me that stuff. And I said, listen, there you bring it, man. We'll cast that thing off of you and love you. Listen, I'm not afraid of a leper. There was a point in time that I was. Affirmation and prophecy. Affirmation is a prophetic action that brings forth destiny in others when proclaimed. Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Did he feel like a mighty man of valor? What was the prophecy? You are a mighty man of valor. He's hiding when he gets the prophetic word that he's a mighty man of valor. And listen, that prophetic word hit something on the inside of him and made him stand up and become the mighty man of valor. So what prophecies have been spoken over you that you have not been affirmed enough to actually receive a prophecy that expands your future? Simon, you're a rock. Simon Peter was a bumbling idiot. I resemble him a lot. But when the rock finally got right with God, 3,000 got saved, one message. I would love to be a bumbling idiot. Jeremiah, prophet to the nations. King David. Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. He is the Savior. An authentic environment will prophetically affirm those who are associated with it so they can access TUA for themselves, which will lead to spiritual maturity in them. A church that can create an atmosphere of affirmation through love is a place that will experience accelerated transformation. What am I saying? Do people need to get saved? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. You know what's greater than salvation? It's transformation. Listen, Jesus does the saving, but I'm telling you what, it's the revelation that 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creature. When Christ comes and lives in me, I'm a new creature. Everything that I did in the past is washed away. The paper was burnt. Listen, the devil will use your history to destroy your future if you let him. But Jesus comes in and he cancels the paperwork. First Corinthians 4:17 prophecy speaks to the future. That is edification. It speaks to the present. That's exhortation. And it speaks to the past, that's comfort. Being grounded in affirmation, knowing that we are loved by God and others, will liberate us from fear and move us into higher realms of faith. It will create a great sense of security and safety within us, which will lead to increased trust, okay? And eventually rest. Until you've been properly affirmed, you'll never go into trust. Until trust has been tested, you'll never go into rest. And from a place of rest, Jesus does the ministry through you instead of you doing it for him. Rest is what we're trying to get to, and it's a place of knowing who we are and who he is in us. And we rest in the fact that he's called us to do something bigger than ourselves, and it's to love people that are broken, to love people that are immature. Much of our praying is done in fear because we are not affirmed. Galatians 5:6, faith which is activated and energized and expressed and working through love. We will never be able to operate in faith until we are affirmed in God's love toward us. Here's the problem, though. We know the scriptures enough, and we've had enough taste of God that I can tell you, oh, God loves Ann. But does God really love me? I'm telling you, until you have been baptized in his love, until you've understood the power of the cross and the gospel and received it yourself, what you give away or what you affirm or what you prophesy will be tainted with your own fears. I know I'm maturing because in that environment last night, there was just, listen, I talked about rape and I talked about abuse. I talked about getting healed. And I was amazed at the people who wanted a papa hug, who wanted affirmation. And I'm telling you, God did some inner healing in the hug. God did some inner healing and just affirming who they are. And I was comfortable with that. You understand, I haven't always been comfortable with that. I always had to give a prophecy that would blow your mind. I always had to give something with accuracy that only God knew to prove who I am. I don't have to do that. I mean, it's nice to have once in a while, don't get me wrong. But is it okay? Is my identity intact where it's his grace and his love is in my hug? Or my pat on the shoulder? The fruit of affirmation is the result of wholeness, integrity of the one affirming. You cannot give something that you do not have. Unaffirmed and insecure people cannot affirm others. When God the Father affirms us, there is no higher source of integrity. An immature fivefold minister cannot produce mature saints. Take that to the bank. And so, you know, you have to come back and do your own report card. Are my people around me immature because I'm immature? Affirming others. Affirmation components. Accuracy. Other centeredness. Eye contact. Soft eyes. Soft voice. What am I saying? This is how to affirm people. Brief statements. Practice doing this with others. You want me to show you how this works? This is how it works. Hey, dude. I appreciate you. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for loving me, and I love you, man.
Love you too.
Is that difficult? Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Ted came and shared a dream this morning. He's serving. He's serving in the house. He sees the fivefold functioning. What'd you say? I'm not sure where I fit. I don't know. Yes, it was. But what I'm saying is that we cry, but we do cry out. God, I need to know my purpose. I need to know. No. Listen, maybe your purpose will never manifest until you've been affirmed. What did I say to you? What was that dream about? You're in the house. You're serving. That's enough affirmation, and God will show you where you fit. We actually talked where we think you fit. But it starts with affirmation that, number one, I belong here. I belong in this relationship. Knucklehead and all. That wasn't you. I'm being affirming here. I was looking this way. But you understand, until you've been affirmed that number one, you're wanted, and not tolerated? I don't want to be tolerated. I want to be wanted. At the same time, if I'm wanted, I want to find out what I'm supposed to do that makes us whole, not just for my benefit. So the affirmation is he's connected. The affirmation is he's serving. The affirmation is he goes, okay, now what's my gifting? Oh, now that these things have been confirmed, maybe God can reveal his gifting. And so then when the anointing comes on as gifting, it won't be his identity. Why? Because he's been affirmed with already being loved before he started functioning. Is this making sense? Because your identity cannot be in what you do. Your identity has to be in who he is. Performance-driven behavior is rooted in unaffirmed identity. I should have waited to the next verse, to the next scripture. Luke 4, if you are the Son of God, then do something. Sonship is positional, not based on performance, even though our position as a son will result in performing. Sons do things that the Father said, but we don't do something to please the Father. He's already pleased, and we're already a son. Women, that's you too. He's already pleased. You are his. Okay, when your performance comes from who he says you are, instead of trying to prove what you think he thinks, you become an asset to the whole body. Love affirmation fills our basic needs. Without our basic needs being met by love, all of our behavior will be geared to meet the need. When the basic needs are met by love, we can then move to the higher transcending needs of growth and contribution. I mean, you want to contribute. You want to be part of what God's doing in a local body. And I really think what the word that we got in the prayer room from it triggered me this morning. You know, we've become family. Now it's time to become friends. That's a big deal because I got family members I don't like to go fishing with at all. They're not that friendly. Thank God I don't have to choose some of you. God already chose you. Was that affirming? Jesus, I just felt conviction over here. Sorry. any legitimate ministry coming out of us will only be the results of the love of God working in us. Hence the necessity for transformation into the image of Christ. Anything else is the soul and is possibly motivated by need or by fear. I'm going to make a contradictory statement to something I've made 150 times. You've all heard me make this statement. If you don't feel the part, you're probably not doing your part. How many times have you heard me say that? Now, if you're not doing your part, we probably haven't affirmed you enough to want to. If you've been affirmed properly that God loves you, and the love of God is in you. And because of that one facet, you're affirmed in him. And I need you. Not only do I need you, I actually want you. Why? Because that's the only way I'm going to grow. That's the only way you're going to grow. You want to pray a dangerous prayer? How many think you've already been affirmed? All right, you want me to sing a song to you? You ain't seen nothing yet. Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Why? Because I believe the Father from above is trying to release to his children so much of his love that there's no room for fear. There's no room for insecurity. I'm telling you, here's the dangerous prayer. Pray it after me. Dear Jesus, I dare you to show me the areas of my life that have not been affirmed by your love. And I will yield it to you. and let you love me and affirm me by the Spirit and by the body. I just saw God tweak somebody to go affirm somebody that there's issues between. Do you want the affirmation that will change you more than you want to hold the paperwork against the person? What are you two doing back there? You're affirming. Yeah. Okay. It's before 12. Did you receive this today? Affirmative. The simplicity of this message of affirmation brought tears to my eyes when I looked at people in ministry that were striving to get more education and do things in the kingdom. You've been around Bill Vanderbush. He's going to tweak you really, really good. And he has these followers that are coming to his wisdom, and they're, I mean, I looked in a room, I'm like, oh Lord, there's people in here have been preaching long time. Made it. But there was enough of the Father's love on me that I could affirm. And I think sometimes we get so busy trying to do ministry, we forget that we do it from His love, not for His love. And we need to stop and be affirmed. We need to start affirming each other.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.